This message is entitled, Remember the Sabbath Day, Exodus 20, verses 1 through 21, which is nearly the whole chapter, but this gives us the context of what we'll be speaking about this morning. Starting in the first verse, And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the father to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your animals, nor the aliens within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. And he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and they said to Moses, Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. Moses said to the people, Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Good and gracious Father, we thank you for the blessing of your holy inspired word, inerrant, powerful. It achieves your purposes and does not return to you void. That it's sufficient for all things having to do with salvation. Lord, we pray a blessing of God the Holy Spirit upon this place and each person's heart. And on my heart, Lord, that we would be ready to see what you desire to reveal. Let us let down our defenses and our objections and receive what God of the universe has given us. Do not let this preacher get in your way, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Remember the Sabbath day. Here in the Ten Commandments, the I Am, the Lord our God, addresses the Sabbath in more detail than any other commandment. Now you might argue that it is a tight race with idolatry and covetousness is a distant third. No, I am not trying to create a hierarchy in the Ten Commandments. Rather, I'm saying that we fail to take the commandment to remember the Sabbath day nearly as seriously as we should. And I include myself in that. First of all, notice that it is a day, the Sabbath day. Second, the proper way to remember it is to keep it holy. Third, it is the Lord's day. Fourth, rest is mandated. Fifth, The Sabbath should be observed by everyone within your responsibility. Sixth, the Lord has consecrated the Sabbath. How does it all fit together? Notice that it is the commandment that bridges our treatment of God with our treatment of our fellow human beings. Those of you here now heard me singing Sunday Morning Coming Down before I read the scripture. Because of copyright concerns, I did not stream it on Facebook Live or record it for the weekly radio broadcast. This song put the author, Kris Kristofferson, on the Nashville map when Johnny Cash took it to number one on the Billboard U.S. country charts in 1970. On his variety show, Cash introduced the song with the following monologue. You know, not everyone has been on the bum, wanted it that way. The Great Depression of the 30s set the feet of thousands of people, farmers, city workers. It set them all to riding the rails. My daddy was one of those who hopped a freight train a couple of times to go and look for work. He wasn't a bum, he was a hobo, but he wasn't a bum. I suppose we've all of us been at one time or another, a drifter at heart. And today, like yesterday, there's many that are on the road headed out. Not searching maybe for work as much as for self-fulfillment or understanding of their life. Trying to find a meaning for their life. And they're not hopping freights much anymore. Instead, they're thumbing cars or diesels along the highways from Maine to Mexico. And many who have drifted, including myself, he says, have found themselves no closer to peace of mind than a dingy back room on some lonely Sunday morning with it all coming down around you. Well, Johnny Cash had married June Carter in 1968, which began a decades-long re-examination of his life and his rededication of his Christian roots. This culminated in 2.5 years of study in the late 70s, after which he received a degree in theology and became a minister. He was encouraged in his studies by the Reverend Billy Graham, who became a close friend of the Cash family during those years. In fact, Johnny and June would join Billy Graham on some of his crusades. I believe that if he had introduced Sunday Morning Coming Down during this later period, his remarks might have been somewhat different. Yes, there is a strong element of searching in it, but it is a quest for God. None of us can truly find ourselves unless we know first who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ecclesiastes tells us that God put eternity in our hearts. We find no rest until we wrestle with that reality. And the psalmist describes a great thirst for God, like a panting deer running for his life, who thirsts for the cool, clean stream of water. Here are the lyrics of Sunday Morning Coming Down. Well, I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head that didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert. Then I fumbled through my clothes and found my cleanest dirty shirt. Then I washed my face and combed my hair and stumbled down the stairs to meet the day. I'd smoked my mind the night before with cigarettes and songs that I'd been picking. But I lit my first and watched a small kid playing with a can that he was kicking. Then I walked across the street and caught the Sunday smell of someone frying chicken. And Lord, it took me back to something that I'd lost somewhere, somehow, along the way. On a Sunday morning sidewalk, I'm wishing, Lord, that I was stoned, because there's something in a Sunday that makes a body feel alone. And there's nothing short of dying that's half as lonesome as the sound of the sleeping city sidewalk and Sunday morning coming down. In the park, I saw a daddy with a laughing little girl that he was swinging. And I stopped beside a Sunday school and listened to the songs they were singing. And then I headed down the street, and somewhere far away, a lonely bell was ringing. And it echoed through the canyons like the disappearing dreams of yesterday. On a Sunday morning sidewalk, I'm wishing, Lord, that I was stoned, 'cause there's something in a Sunday that makes a body feel alone. And there's nothing short of dying that's half as lonesome as the sound of the sleeping city sidewalk with Sunday morning coming down. Chris Christopherson expresses the human condition apart from God with an insightful lament. And this was the perfect song for Johnny Cash, who lived it and whose unique bass baritone voice made it credible. For me, this song represents not only the individual, but also our whole culture that has drifted far from our Creator's intention. This man is not living a holy or God-honoring life. He is in a cycle of ups and downs, booze and smoking and drugs and music or entertainment. And there is a great theology in, I fumbled in my closet through my clothes and found my cleanest dirty shirt. Yes, all our righteousness is dirty rags before God. We may dress ourselves up, wash our faces, comb our hair, but we are not really ready to meet the day. There is an emptiness. There is a missing the joy of children in simple play, swinging and kicking cans. We're missing the Sunday school children making a sweet sound when they sing. And there is a longing for the comfort food shared around the table with a loving family. This man cries out for escape from his emptiness. I'm wishing, Lord, that I was stoned. It was very intentional that this is a Sunday morning. The streets are empty. Some of the people are sleeping it off, and some of them are in church. And in the distance somewhere is the call of that lonely church bell. It's lonely because it's not what it's supposed to be. He is not what he's supposed to be. Our society, our culture is not what it is supposed to be. You see, my friends, the Sabbath has been forsaken. The Lord's day is not being lived out the way that God decreed. We have lost the anchor, and we are drifting on a sea of melancholy, looking for something on which to grasp, to take hold of. Hear the singer as he stumbles through the day. What's missing? What is missing? Something is lost somewhere, somehow. Lonesome sounds. There's an echoing through unidentified canyons, and I hear King Solomon in the background whispering, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Disappearing dreams of yesterday. There is an atmosphere of death, which is no exaggeration, because, my friends, separation from God, separation from the presence of God, and separation from the ways of God, it is death. This does not surprise the Almighty. That is why we were given the Sabbath, to keep us connected to God and to sustain us in this life and prepare us for the life to come. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Are we doing that, church? I don't think that I am nearly to the extent that I should. How about you? Like all the other commandments, God's chosen people had problems adhering to the Sabbath requirements. God speaks in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 13. Yet the people of Israel rebelled against me in the desert. They did not follow my decrees, but rejected my laws, although the man who obeys them will live by them. And they utterly desecrated my Sabbaths. So I said I would pour out my wrath on them and destroy them in the desert. To ensure that the people would obey God in regard to the Sabbath, the Pharisees became very strict in enforcing Sabbath rules. In an attempt to cover every situation, they even added more specific restrictions. And while their original intentions were good, the Pharisaic Sabbath became a burden instead of a blessing. In fact, the Gospels record many instances of conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees over Sabbath law. Jesus was trying to show them that acts of charity and necessary work for eating and survival were not prohibited. Jesus performed many healings on the Sabbath, and his disciples gathered gleanings from the fields in order to eat. Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." So, Jesus has and is the final word. Can we conclude then, like so many have, that the Sabbath guidance is no longer in effect? No, not at all. He says in Matthew 5, verse 17, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." And this is from my Dictionary of Bible Themes. The New Testament develops the Old Testament teaching on the Sabbath in three important directions. It declares that the Sabbath should not be observed in a legalistic manner. The Sabbath rest is treated as an important symbol of the Christian doctrine of salvation. And finally, the New Testament itself indicates how Sunday, rather than Saturday, came to be seen as the Christian Sabbath. Well, if you're a serious student of the Bible, you have already probably brought an early scripture to mind, the second chapter of the whole Bible. And this scripture demonstrates the blessing of the Sabbath is not merely a matter of Mosaic law. Genesis chapter 2, first three verses. "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." This is 2,000 years before Moses. God established a holy day of rest. God blessed the seventh day. Was Almighty God tired and needing rest? I don't think so. It was a proclamation of completion. It was an example to all men and all women. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. This makes it quite evident that the holy day of Sabbath rest is an integral part of God's design for the human race. Why do we resist it? Why do I resist it? Why would the Lord redeem a whole day? Well, we live in the world 6 days of the week, so we need a whole day to be properly refreshed, renewed, and refocused. We need to remember to whom we belong. We need to remember that we have a God-given purpose. We need to remember that our citizenship is in heaven. We need to recognize our ministry of reconciliation and so much more. We recharge our cell phones daily or maybe every other day, and yet we expect to plug in for an hour and be good for another 6 days. Honoring and making the Sabbath day holy is not just about going to church. Even if your church worships in spirit, proclaims God's word, and strengthens the fellowship, if your day is not bathed in prayer, if you have not shifted down into a lower gear, if you have not made the Lord your focus, how can you embrace the worship and be transformed by the power of God's word? Your outer shell is still hardened by the ways of the world, so that the things of God have a hard time penetrating that barrier. What do you think it means to make it holy? It is to be a day different than the rest of the week. Plan your chores and your time to complete them on the other 6 days. And this is not just about avoiding all the evils that we resist every day, or should be. Making the Sabbath holy is an intentional and faithful approach to affirming godly priorities. Be purposeful in helping or reaching out to someone in need. Build your family relationships. When you honor the Sabbath, you send an important message and model a life-giving gospel. You can be a major influencer on those around you when you are positive and uplifting due to the sustaining power of a God-centered Sabbath. It is the Lord's Day. It does not belong to the National Football League or any other sports league. It does not belong to any of the casinos. Would you invite Jesus to participate in the activities with you? Does it honor the creator of the universe? God knows us better than we know ourselves, and he says we need rest. The fact is that we will be able to accomplish more in the 6 days when we are replenished by a holy Sabbath than when we try to ram our way through the 7 days without it. Also, because we are honoring God, it is more likely our gracious and good Father will bless our efforts. And we are saying that we trust you, Heavenly Father. The Sabbath has been set aside, set apart, consecrated, made holy by the God of the universe. Who are we to take it lightly? Who are we to think we know better than the one who designed and created us? The frosting on the cake is that celebrating a holy Sabbath is preparing us for our heavenly reward, where we will reap a great harvest of blessing. It should not surprise that our culture has not just drifted away from God, but been blown way off course. When we treat the Sabbath like any other day, we are conceding the battle to Satan. And issue after issue, in confrontation after confrontation, we have surrendered to the world and to the Prince of Darkness. We have too little ammunition. We have not sharpened the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, so it is dull and impotent in our hand. And some are not even able to draw the sword out of the scabbard. The fuel of worship 2 weeks ago has long been used up, and we're stranded along life's byways. Our prayer communication channels have been cut, as there is no power to activate the transmitters. Too many of us stumble through the day. We put on our best face, but we are still wearing last week's shirt. We are too overwrought to appreciate the basic blessings of family and dinners together. We can hear that church bell faintly, and the children's choir rarely raises a note. Loneliness is a common cord. There is a real sense of dying and lostness, but only a vague idea of why. These things are not just true for individuals, they are true for most all of our society, even many professing Christians. Always remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Amen. Let us pray. Loving Lord, we pray for the power of God the Holy Spirit to bring your word to mind. Lord, you have given us a command that gives us life. Abundant life, Lord. Not life without trials, not life without problems, but a full life, because we are walking with Jesus. We are yoked with Jesus, who carries the load. Let us not rely on human wisdom as we reason and rationalize our way away from your commandment to keep the Sabbath. Lord, it is a gift. Why do we not cherish it? So my prayer is for each one here and for all those that hear this word, that they would embrace your promise, that they would become the men and women of God you call us to be, so that we can be a blessing in our daily walk to our family, our friends, our co-workers, wherever we may go, Lord. May we be renewed and refreshed, overflowing with the joy of God the Holy Spirit. I pray this all in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, Amen.